Well, let me warmly welcome you to our afternoon Pilgrim's Progress special service. We have about one every 2 months. It's going to average out as, I think. And it's worth it because the book is just Bible. There's so much Bible. So I hope you agree it will be worth sort of having this these evening services at times to look at Pilgrim's Progress. I'm going to read a psalm which you'll recognise, which will help get us thinking about the subject really this afternoon. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to read a couple of short passages. Romans 8 first, where else? Well, you'll see why, I think. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read a few verses. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to begin with, looks back at the wonderful things said about the Spirit's strengthening and presence. And from verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I'm going to read two verses from Matthew 7. Matthew 7:13. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." Well, John Bunyan has given us a Pilgrim's Progress, which is a picture of the Christian life to help us in our Christian walk. Some of the pictures we've seen in the last couple of Pilgrim's Progress services and will see may seem a bit strange, a bit sort of obscure. But the more you dig and the more you ask, well, what's the word here? The more light shines, and with it, life. Bunyan himself was a walking, talking Bible. It was in his veins. Spurgeon said, if you cut him open, he bleeds the Bible. Would that be said of any one of us? It has been a few months. Christmas didn't get in the way. We love Christmas. But it's been a few months. But the main man in the story, Christian, is on a journey. So he has fled the city of destruction, and he has begun his journey to the celestial or the heavenly city. He's left family and home, and he has encountered many things already, as we've seen in previous ones. So we got the swamp, didn't we? The Slough of Despond or Swamp of Despair. He went off track here to Mount Sinai. Wonderful section about this morning, really, about law. Moses bopped him over the head right here. He got to the gate. He got on the way. The interpreter's house, amazing. So many pictures in there that are just rich and true. And, of course, he came to the cross. A massive burden just rolled away into the grave. Wonderful picture of what Christ does for repentant sinners. He then came to the hill of difficulty. Some people he was with went off this way, one of them did, another this way. It's all about staying on the narrow way, no matter how hard it is. Palace Beautiful, picture of the church again. So many pictures in there, so rich. He got strengthened and taught, given the armour of God. And we came round to here. And in the valley of humiliation, he was set upon by the evil one. And that's where we left off last time. And actually what we see today, he goes from valley to valley, valley of humiliation to the valley of the shadow of death. The narrow way gets really narrow. Ridiculously narrow, not ridiculously, but unbelievably narrow. He doesn't actually, in our time this afternoon, get physically very far. But spiritually, he probably gets the furthest of all on his journey. And we are encountering difficulties and struggles this afternoon. And when someone like Bunyan speaks of trials, we do well to listen. He went through a lot. If you know his story, not doing anything on him this afternoon, we have done before, we'll come back to that as well. But he went through a lot. He was in prison numerous times, under great pressure. Attempts were made to silence him, and so on. He knew suffering. He knew Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley. You might go for that time, just darkness, where things just closing in my life. I fear not, for you are with me. And so, let's pick up back in the valley of humiliation. The pictures, if you haven't been here before for these, the pictures are a little bit unusual, but you get used to them, I think. Back to the battle with Apollyon, the evil one. I just want to take us back to this conversation, because there's a lot of things I'm leaving out, and I'm sort of want to get this back in, so let's pick it up. So the conversation was had with this battle with Apollyon. That's really interesting and worth us just thinking about for a moment, because when Apollyon first came to Christian, on the road, he didn't come firing arrows, not physical ones. He came with a strategy. And Christian, we need to get our heads around this. He starts by saying, "Where are you? Where are you from? Where are you going to?" "I see you're one of my subjects," he says to Christian. "No, I'm not anymore. I'm not." Apollyon's sort of throwaway line. "Oh well, it's usual for people to leave Jesus and return to me after a while, so you'll be back. No problem." Christian says, no, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Apollyon steps it up slightly. "No, well, hang on a minute. You used to be loyal to me, didn't you? I'll overlook things if you return to me." Well, Christian says, "Well, yeah, I used to serve you when I didn't know any better. But that was in the past. Besides, I like serving Jesus more now. I like the way he leads me. I like his company. I like his people. I like his country. There's no turning back." Pause for a moment. This is an important thing. And I want it to ring true, Christian, in your mind and heart, because it's really huge. Loving Christ's ways more than the world is a key thing in our lives, in our walk and in our fight. I know it sounds really obvious, but there comes a point in a Christian when they really do love God's ways best. They actually do. I genuinely want to serve Jesus. It's not forced. I'm not kind of, should I go? That sort of thing. No, actually, I just love the life. I can see. The scales are off. The life in Jesus, with Jesus leading, is better than my previous ways or the ways of this world. So Christian says to Apollyon, I actually find the path of obedience more enjoyable and satisfying. And now a shift comes in Apollyon. He goes from persuading to accusing. Oh yeah, but you're a rubbish Christian. What makes you think Jesus is going to accept you? How can you be a child of God? You who mess up so much, you who put your foot in it all the time. You see sinister ways of the devil, isn't it? And Apollyon lists the things Christian has done so far. He reels them out. And Christian responds as we should. It's true. It's true. You're absolutely right. In fact, Apollyon, you've left loads of things out. You don't know the half of it because you don't know what's going on in here. If you could see, you'd know how sinful I really am. When accused, we look to Christ, of course. But what we don't want to do as well is kind of, in one sense, disagree. It is true. We're sinners. You're a sinner and I'm a sinner. We fail, we'll fail again. What matters, there's a Saviour. And it's His mercy that triumphs. It's His grace and it's His mercy, isn't it? That is the answer to such attacks. Remember that this week. We make it all about us, don't we? It's Christ's mercy that triumphs over judgment. And when Christian gets onto the gospel with Apollyon, he flips. He absolutely flips. He becomes enraged, and that's when the actual physical battle, John Bunyan writes, starts. So if you think about the strategies of the evil one, persuade comes through us in all sorts of ways, doesn't it? Persuade, accuse, and attack. And then follows this battle. Christian fought with God's armour. He's got the sword of the Spirit. He's got the shield of faith. He's blocking the fiery arrows. God doesn't love you. Yes, He does. God demonstrates His love for me in this. Christ died. It was a 6-hour fight, but it ended when Christian cried out, "In all things, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me." At this, the devil turned to take no more. And we're told in the Bible, resist the devil and he will flee. So the battle was over. Christian was wounded. He fell to his knees in exhaustion. Again, and maybe some of you here, you're actually wounded at the moment. You are pretty exhausted in life. Bunyan writes, a hand appeared with some leaves from the tree of life for healing. This is Revelation 22. And after he'd rested and recovered, Christian up and continued on his way. And actually, he was more confident. He was encouraged. He was strengthened. Again, this is a really important point to think about in our walk. He had stood and fought and won in the strength of Christ. And every battle the Christian faces, we actually grow in our walk with Jesus. Every time we resist the devil, it makes it a little bit easier to resist next time. Every battle makes us a bit stronger in the Lord. Which was good because the next test was close at hand. Because Bunyan writes, at the end of this valley lay another valley. And you'd think, now, if we were writing this, or we were God, so I'm careful saying that, but you'd think after such an ordeal, well, hang on, that's a stretch of peace for poor Christian. But that's not the case. And that's realistic to life. Those of you who've been through really, really difficult times can understand that. We used to have a phrase as well, don't we? When it rains, it pours. That's what it feels like, doesn't it? It's often the case. Or as Tolkien would say, out of the frying pan into the fire, which is what's about to happen. So the valley of humiliation leads straight into the valley of the shadow of death. Christian looks ahead and he sees the path goes through this horrendously dark, scary looking valley. There was no way round. There was no sign of the path going anywhere else. It was going straight through it. And this valley is a portrayal by Bunyan, not so much of death itself, although it's there, but actually despair, depression, despondency, distance, darkness, barren, lonely times where God seems really far from us. And David writes a lot on this in the Psalms, doesn't he? This sort of thing. And Bunyan himself struggled with times like this. He had doubts. He was very low at times. He himself knew times when God felt really distant in his life. And these come to believers. Times of spiritual drought. Am I a Christian? What's going on? Doubt as well. Is it really true? These times are harder. And we find ourselves asking, where is God? We sung this morning, didn't we? When darkness hides, oh, actually it's another song, isn't it? Cornerstone. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. As Christian approached the valley of the shadow, two men were running towards him. Back, back, they shouted. Turn back if you value your life. Christians are, why? What's going on? What did you see? And they said, well, we saw ahead great danger, pitch black, hobgoblins, satyrs, dragons of the pit. We heard continual howling and yelling, people in misery, bound in chains. We heard pain. And the temptation to give up the Christian life can be strong, particularly in difficult times. And these two, picture of backsliders, the kind of described as the seed, you know, that wilts in the heat of the sun. And they'll always be found in churches, people who seem to be once walking well, but then, you know, became less regular, and then eventually kind of they were gone. You didn't see them anymore. They turned back. Well, they carried on running away. Christian could see the valley ahead. He could see that above it hung great dark clouds. One called discouragement, another confusion, another death. He'd already faced lions. He'd faced the evil one. So he was resolved to press on, no turning back. So sword in hand, Christian plunged into the valley of the shadow. And the first thing he noticed was the narrow way became extremely narrow and dangerous. On one side was a deep ditch. It went down and down. On the other side was a miry bog, the kind where your feet don't find the bottom. This is the bog, Bunyan says, the kind of bog King David once fell into, and he would have drowned in there had not Nathan the prophet have pulled him out. This is the kind of bog where he cried, Lord, cast me not away from your presence, because his sin, which was deep and grievous, had caused such despair in David, because that's what sin does. It doesn't do us any good. It does us great harm. The darkness in the valley was such that he could hardly see. It's the lack of assurance, is the picture that Bunyan's giving us. It's the lack of the light of the Lord. So we hear in the Old Testament, don't we? We read many places, Lord, may your face shine on us. Lord, please lift up the light of your countenance upon us. We need light. This is the Christian feeling far from God, surrounded by the dark. And Christian had great trouble, it says, staying on the path, almost slipping one side and the other, bog, the big pit on the other side, and flames and cries were coming from the pit, and it would make Christian wobble, and he would slow right down in the blackness, and it was so dark that he, when he lifted up his foot to walk, he couldn't see where to put it, so he was kind of literally feeling his way along, forwards. Again, if you've been through, and you may be going through now, times of depression, that is part of the feeling, isn't it? It's barely a step at a time. It's sometimes backwards. A day at a time, an hour at a time. The intensity of the struggle in the dark is what's pictured here. The going is so slow, sometimes non-existent, and sometimes backwards, like those two running the other way. Christian Bunyan writes, "Saw into the pit, the mouth of hell, flames and noises rose, smoke belched out." And he says, unlike his last battle, last valley, his sword was no good here. And again, you probably know this, you just open the Bible sometimes, it's like, it doesn't mean anything, I'm not feeling anything. I can read the word, but I'm not reading the word. That sort of feeling, isn't it? It doesn't seem to help at all. When we're low, this is often our experience. So what did Christian take up? It says he took up another weapon. Prayer. All he could cry was help. That was it. Again, this is the Christian in despair. It's just help, isn't it? I've got nothing else. I've got no ability to go out. I've got no ability to read my Bible. I can try and read it. I can't comprehend it. Just, Lord, help. Of course, prayer is one of the great weapons mentioned in Ephesians 6. And Christian continues praying, Lord, save me. Save me. For several miles this continued. Dreadful noises, flames, cries, rushings of things in the dark. At times he thought he would be struck, other times trodden underfoot. And he thought, should I turn back? But then he thought to himself, I might be nearly through. I can't turn back. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. At this point he stopped still because he heard what sounded like fiends coming towards him. His heart nearly failed him. He couldn't go back. It was just as dangerous. The fiends came closer. He cried out, I will walk in the strength of the Lord my God. And they seemed to kind of back off. But Christian in the dark and all he was experiencing and the noise, he didn't know his own voice. Nor did he know that the fiends were kind of drawing alongside and whispering things in his ears. So Christian found himself having terrible thoughts. Thoughts he couldn't tell. It's like, where's that from? Is that my mind? And Bunyan is really helpfully reminding us of the evil one. That he plants things. He suggests things. He's not teaching. Bunyan's not teaching that the evil one can possess or overpower a Christian. But he's reminding us we need to be sensitive. There is an enemy. He's very real. And we can be surprised, can't we, by the darkness of the thoughts in our own heads at time. It's not the Holy Spirit. Thoughts come, don't they? Thoughts of unbelief, bitterness, discouragement. And they scare us. And they defile us as well. And they weaken us. And they set us to think other things that further are unhelpful. We must never underestimate the battle for the mind. It is a battleground. So we must take care, mustn't we, of the voices we hear the most. I had this in small group recently in the Psalms. People say that if you speak to yourself, it's a sign of, you know, madness. But Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, actually, you listen to yourself, that's a sign of craziness. He says, don't listen to your heart, preach to your heart. Preach gospel truth and feelings will follow. Get the order the right way round. That's really helpful. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, think rightly, so you then will be able to feel rightly. We must be in mind to talk to ourselves more than we listen to ourselves, especially in these moments. Speak truth to ourselves through the day. The evil one loves nothing more than to whisper division into churches, into marriages. So whenever we hear things that are contrary to God's words, to the law of love for Jesus and for other people, we must, as Paul says, bring every thought into captivity. Bang, lock it up. Jump into conclusions. How easy is that? Rein it in. Judging, stop. Just cut it off before it gets any further. It comes in our minds. Just have something in place. Self-pity, well, there's a massive one. Pride, entitlement, that oh-so-common voice of going, poor me. Poor me. Or what's the point? We need to bring these as quickly as possible before they can snowball, turn into something bigger and more dangerous. Bring them under the gospel of God. It's the battle in the mind, isn't it? Be encouraged, Christian. If you find yourself thinking more spiritual thoughts, that's good. And that's why we keep reading our Bibles. We keep meeting, because your mind will become more spiritual. Spiritually minded person is where we want to be. So keep filters and checks in place on the mouth, in the mind, so that we can have strength for these moments. Christian also heard another voice in the dark valley. It was someone reciting Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley, you're with me. And he heard it through all the noises. And he says, what a difference it made. What that voice did to my soul in that moment. He suddenly realized, I'm not alone. I am absolutely rock bottom. I've never been this low, but I'm not alone. I'm not the only one suffering like this. Again, some of you know this. It's resonating with you. Other Christians suffering. We're not alone. And if God is with that person in the dark, God can be with me. He is with me. Christians struggled on. Eventually, the darkness lifted. Light dawns and he looks back and he thinks, wow, I came through miles and miles of all this and I didn't slip. It must be Jesus. And we mustn't take the credit, must we? It's him who keeps us from falling. Psalm 73. You held me. I was slipping. All along, you were holding me, Lord. And Christian says from Job, by the light of the Lord, I have come through. How we think back on times the Lord has led us through. Thank you, Lord. How did I get through that? How on earth did I get through that? That was so dark. But here I am. The lights have come on. Praise your name. Christian was encouraged, as we should be when we look back at God's leading through dark times. This is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Christian was actually still in the valley, and it says that he faced even greater dangers, but he could see. And he could face these difficulties with God's help. So again, Bunyan is painting the picture of the difference it makes when we're full of assurance and peace. It kind of, as Paul says, I can do all things. So he faced worse things, but there was a big change in him through the Lord's help. I can face all things through Christ who gives me strength. At the end of the valley, Christian comes across a pile of bones, blood and ashes, and the truth is, there are some who will go through difficulty and don't make it out. That is reality, isn't it? And at the end there were two caves, and in the two caves were two giants. Bunyan says they were called Pope and Pagan. And it's by the power of these two, this pile of death. Roman Catholicism, secular religion, were the church's great two enemies, if you like, two ideologies, ministers of despair, Bunyan calls them. How true that is. Because they hold no hope. There's no gospel there. Roman Catholicism, you've got to earn righteousness. Well, that just contributes to despair. Paganism has no gospel of grace. Also despair. They're both heathen, although one claims to be Christian, of course. And, of course, both persecute, take to court. They don't know the Lord, and they devour believers. And this was really pertinent at the time of John Bunyan's writing. The Christian doesn't stop. He doesn't talk. There's no point. He just walks on past, unhurt, untouchable by the enemy. And he sings instead. He sings a Christ-exalting song. And we're getting to a song in a moment. There's something else to say first. He sings a song about endurance. He sings a song about Christ being exalted in his sufferings. Shortly, the path that he's on gave way to a small rise in the land. And it says that he'd been built intentionally that pilgrims might have a vantage point to see the way ahead. And think about this in your life as well. That's the kindness of God, isn't it? After trials, he's giving Christian a clear view ahead of the way. This is a great thing. Again, resonating, I know that place where everything ahead is glory. However hard, with Christ's help, I can see. And with his strength, I'll get through. He continues. And as he looks and carries on the road, he sees another ahead of him. And this is a man called Faithful. And when he left the Palace Beautiful, back in November, I think it was, he asked if any other pilgrims were heading to the Celestial City. And someone said, yes, there is someone on the way. This is the voice he heard in the valley singing Psalm 23. It's another Christian heading towards the Celestial City. And Christian calls, wait up. Slow down, let me catch you up. No can do, comes the reply. Evil is behind me, I ain't slowing down for anybody. And you think, well, that sounds a bit mean of Faithful, but the tone is, no, I'm not slowing down my walk. I am pressing on. And it's a kind of helpful side thought, this, that we need to be like Faithful. Zealous for the Lord, not slowing down spiritually for anyone. Not cooling off, but as Paul says, the world behind me, the cross before me, I am not slowing down. You want to catch up with me? That's great. But you need to speed up, because I'm heading to glory at my pace. And there's something in that, isn't there? If you are spiritually moving somewhere, well, don't slow down spiritually for others. Let them help them to catch you up, as it were. And I hope you want that. That you're not just pressing on, but that you won't slow down for half-hearted Christians, for those who might slow you down. Or Christian breaks into a run to catch up, and we read that he overtakes Faithful. And it feels good. Hey, and he has a little sideways, prideful glance. So what happens next? Then he falls. Oh, I should have asked more questions, shouldn't I? Pride comes before a fall. It's a lovely little moment from Bunyan, isn't it? It always does. And there's this tiny bit in the Bunyan story. It is, for me, it's another gem. This small but realistic addition highlights a damaging way that we can think and relate about each other. We've got to bring unhelpful thoughts into line with the Holy Spirit. We've got to catch them at the thought stage. If we allow our mind to roam kind of untethered, We think wrongly of ourselves and others. So he overtakes and he thinks, I'm a bit better than faithful. I'm a bit more spiritual, aren't I? That's good. That's good, but it's so dangerous, isn't it? That person's a bit weak, aren't they, on this or that. What? Why do they do that? We'll come to it in Romans about judging each other. And it's a really, really helpful section. And if we run ahead of people in our minds, if we think we're a bit better, well, we're being proud. And we, of course, have an unrealistic view of ourselves. If we are further down the road than someone spiritually, well, okay, that's all for the grace of God. If we start to think we are, then we show ourselves actually not to be, don't we? We're immediately showing ourselves to be spiritually immature. And we fall. And the brother or sister we despised will come and pick us up. And Christian lies there and John Bunyan says he couldn't get up without Faithful's help. So Faithful comes, he picks him up. And so begins, we'll save this for next time, this delight of Christian fellowship. So in massive contrast to today, the valley of darkness, next time is the delight of fellowship. And Faithful, what a gem of a Christian he is. And we see one of the great delights on our walk to glory is the walking with others. Having a Christian friend in whom we can share, pray, confide things of the Lord. Share without fear of judgment, share for encouragement. But we'll save that for next time.